but I didn't realize the drift between love and fear in people, in society, and actually how satanic pedophiles who are in positions of power are essentially sowing their own destruction, destructive forces within them in society through their very being and through the mechanisms of the institutions. The contemplation of that and the realization through the words of Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and others reaffirmed that their view of humanity is one where we are useless creatures. We are to be sucked out, extracted, taken for everything that we have and discarded. And the evidence there is what they do with children and young girls. All of those girls were discarded. These people take it to a whole new level where there is a pleasure, a real pleasure that is derived from giving pain to someone, a real pleasure in taking from someone, a real pleasure in destroying someone. Why they became that way, we can talk about, but we certainly cannot have these individuals ever again running any of our institutions, our banking systems, our governments, our media.
Most of my listeners have heard of the amazing antioxidant and immunity building benefits of C60. But what you may not know is how amazing black seed oil is as a carrier for C60. Black seed oil has been called the miracle herb by the National Health Institute because of all the health benefits such as anti-inflammatory, anti-diabetic, and so much more. That is why I personally take the ultra pure 99.99% C60 in black seed oil. It's now available in gel caps, so no more slurping down that disgusting oil. Listeners can get Live Longer Labs' patented Ultra Pure No Solvent C60 at exclusive discounted prices now at my shop. Go to sarahwestell.com under shop and learn more. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have John Paul Rice coming back to the show. He's a movie producer, and he did a movie called The Child's Voice. And we talked a little over a year ago, and I wanted to reconnect with him with so much that's coming out on how his movie did, what he learned over the past year. He's been introduced to so many people, and what he thinks about all the revelations coming out with Epstein and, you know, the Project Veritas and my interview with the person in Russia, Mark Dugan, and what he thinks about what's happening in our country and where it's going. It's a very interesting interview on his insights and what he's learned. And, you know, it's kind of a spiritual journey that he's been going on with this movie. I think when you get involved in child abuse and you kind of become absorbed in it, it's hard to not go on a spiritual journey because it's so hard to deal with. And you realize that it's so deep and it's so traumatic. And so we share a lot of that. And I think it's healing for him. And I think it's something that our whole country needs to go through because so many of our leaders, so many people running our institutions are caught up in this. And so what does that mean? What does that mean to our world and our country? And how can we get past this? So let's get into the interview now with John Paul Rice. Hey, John, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
I had you last on when you were first putting out your movie, The Child's Voice. And it was one of the first movies that really talked about ritual sacrifice. You didn't do it really. It was kind of more of a implying it versus right being in your face, but you did it. Now, what kind of reaction did you get from your movie, and what have you learned since?
Well, the audience that has seen the film, majority men and women, young and old, have been moved by the film and have shared it with many other people. I think that when I started getting emails directly from survivors of abuse, young and old, telling me what an inspiration that story was for them, that somebody saw what they had been through, or somebody had understood what these children go through. That was probably the most rewarding part of it, to see the emotions evolve in individual people, young and old, all over the world, really, for these last 2 years. It told me that I was doing something right.
Yeah. Is it a larger problem than you even realized, now that you've dove into it for the last couple of years? Is it plaguing our society worse than you even thought?
Yes. When I originally went into this two, 3 years ago, I knew it was bad, and I kind of conceived of it in my mind, you know, using my imagination with the knowledge and the data that I had to be able to kind of visualize how this whole thing works and who these people are. But I didn't realize the drift between love and fear in people, in society, and actually how satanic pedophiles who are in positions of power are essentially sowing their own destructive forces within them in society through their very being and through the mechanisms of the institutions. And it comes from a place of belief in them. And that was not the hardest thing, but to understand that you and I, as we exist in our bodies, in our minds, and how we live, that someone who does this to children has a whole new construct of reality that is very different from our own, but that is as real to that person as yours and mine is to us. And I think that was the contemplation of that and the realization through the words of Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and others, reaffirmed that their view of humanity is one where we are useless creatures. We are to be sucked out, extracted, taken for everything that we have, and discarded. And the evidence there is what they do with children and young girls. All of those girls were discarded.
Yeah, they are. They just discarded all those people. But what do they see themselves as? I mean, they don't see themselves as part of the human race. I mean, how do they discard others while being a human too?
Well, this is part of personal experience. This summer taught me a lot of things through spirituality, but really the focus I want to bring back from those lessons is that there's a light and a dark in the world. And whether you're a believer in God or Jesus Christ or a higher power is not the issue. It's the understanding that these individuals worship themselves. They are narcissists. Jeffrey Epstein was a narcissist. And if anybody doesn't understand what that is, they should look it up, because there's some YouTube videos and some first-person testimonials of people who've lived with narcissists. But he's of that level where he viewed himself as a god. He really did view himself as a god and aligned himself with that symbology and that mentality, where he was obviously not a mastermind, but a vehicle, a conduit, if you will, to the connections of the wealthy and the powerful to get them to do what these individuals who were behind this wanted them to do. That's what the blackmail was for. So when I look at somebody like Jeffrey Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein has his own appetite, his own proclivities, his own judgments. He's his own unique individual. But what the core trait among all of them is that they view human beings as nothing. They see us as like Westworld. If you've seen that series in the first season, they rape, the elites come in, they rape, they kill for their pleasure. This is the difference. You and I may do things that are adverse to us. We might even fight and hit somebody, but most of us are not doing it out of wanting to hurt someone and exert power over someone. Mostly it's to defend ourselves. That's why most people lie. Most people lie because they feel that they're going to receive a punishment and they're trying to protect themselves because they learned that behavior in childhood. These people take it to a whole new level where there is a pleasure, a real pleasure that is derived from giving pain to someone, a real pleasure in taking from someone, a real pleasure in destroying someone. Those are the kinds of people that we're dealing with. Those are not, to me, although they were born of the light and they are a manifestation of creation, their light is very dim in them, and they are giving into what I would consider is total hedonism and nihilism, which is life has no meaning except for yourself. The blood sacrifice of the child is the blood sacrifice for them and their dark God, as opposed to, if you look at Christ, Christ is the sacrifice for all of mankind, the blood shed for all so that all could live, versus the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of a child for their dark God, Baal, Moloch, and whatever power they feel that they derive from that. But all of it flows through fear, all of it. There is no love, no Christianity, nothing in any of what they're doing. So this is about self-serving, almost reptilian mind, because when you're getting into human trafficking of kids and human trafficking of teens, what you're really talking about is the soul murder of the child, the destruction, the robbing of the love that the child is born with the creative, loving imagination that all of us manifest when we come into this world. So to answer your question, their behavior is not human. Why they became that way, we can talk about, but we certainly cannot have these individuals ever again running any of our institutions, our banking systems, our governments, our media. We're in a new time. We're in a new time. We are going to reconstruct our society away from the moment you turn 18 and become a taxpayer and a legal person that can go to jail. And we need to start reconstructing our society and all of our laws to protect the child at every step of the way. Because if we're not giving all of our children in this world the greatest opportunity to live the fullest life that they themselves would want to feel as children who play. If we're not giving that to our children, all of what we're complaining about, all of what we want to go away, all of what we want to vanquish from the world and all the evil that we know will still be here with us until we decide that we are going to protect the child from birth until death and not put a price tag on it, not to try to commodify it like they have. So that's the difference between us and them.
That's really profound the way you said that. Now let's get back to Epstein. And one thing that you said to me that was very obvious, and it's starting to come out more, but we're not all seeing it as if they're being taken down. The Epstein, and I had a whistleblower come on my show talking about the 700 tapes he has. He's in Russia right now, has 700 tapes. There's a top executive from MSNBC raping an underage girl on that tape. I call it rape because she's underage. She's young, 14, 15. Now, the media is very silent on that. And why do you think that is?
I think it's obvious the way they've covered everything since Pizzagate and before that, even the Franklin scandal going back, 40 years. They dismissed it as a conspiracy theory. In fact, you can find many articles written about it. It's very simple. All of them are implicated in some way. I think that the ABC Project Veritas tape is a very telling thing with the response of ABC. Because you see a complete disconnect, not just in the outrage of the fact that they're not even acknowledging what the truth is, but that they omit the fact that their lawyer concluded that we will look back on this time as Jeffrey Epstein being the most prolific pedophile in history. That was the conclusion that ABC's lawyer came to. And what that means is that everybody who is silent about that knows that fact and knows who's going to go down. And when they go down, they're going to take people with them. And the reason why that is because what we don't see is that there are no loyalties in corruption. There are alliances. And when those alliances fall apart, people turn on each other. And they do so out of self-preservation because they know that their bosses and the people above them will throw them under the bus equally as they will throw their boss under the bus to save their own ass. So that's what it all is. It's a culture of fear. And everybody in there plays a role. Even that lady at ABC who had remorse and guilt, really it was her remorse and guilt, had more to do with the fact that she contemplated the story that she could have broke first. That was her ego telling her that. And the second one was the slight bit of remorse that she may have had for the fact that they let him go. And if she thought about it even deeper, she would start seeing her own childhood unfold in front of her, where she was asked to be silent for other things. And that's where all of this comes from, because the truth of the matter is that day, that woman who had that, quote, moment of clarity, should have walked off the set and told these people to all go F themselves.
Well, exactly.
And she should have told them why.
Well, exactly, because...
If you're really courageous and caring about these kids, you would break the fourth wall and say, today I learned that we let the most prolific pedophile walk and didn't turn, for 3 years, did not turn this evidence over to law enforcement.
Well, law enforcement had it, but the problem is that
right.
She, and now when you look, and it's not just, she's not the biggest villain, she's one of them. But the fact that now she's still silent and parroting what the lawyer wants her to parrot, I mean, at some point, all of these media people are not innocent because they know what they're covering up. And they, I mean, at what point is covering up for pedophiles okay? Is making money and being famous enough for covering up for pedophiles? I mean, at what point are you sick of yourself?
I yelled at a lot of my friends in the film industry who were critics last summer when James Gunn's tweets came out, and how all of them were arguing these are jokes and this, that, and the other. You know, he talked about ass raping a woman. Where was the Me Too crowd on that? That was not a parting joke. He said it very clearly in two tweets about raping a woman. Ass raping a woman, in addition to the multiple pedophile jokes and the associations. And what do? They come out and say, oh, don't ruin my Guardians of the Galaxy. As though they can't find another director, as though he made the thing, as though your entertainment is above the possibility that there is a person working in a children's network, a studio, Disney, that messages to our kids for decades, and you want him just so you can feel better about your own movie? Are you really that sick and shallow? Is it really that hard to understand that people who make jokes like this, at minimum, are around other adults, and they're online, and there are people who read that and see it, and they take it in, and they agree with it?
Well, that's
what it is, and they all know this. They all feel this way. I know I'm being a little emotional about it, but I'm just like, I'm not sparing the expense anymore, and I don't give a shit what the people in this industry think of me. If you are still working in the film industry today under somebody who does this shit to kids, and you know it, you are complicit in it. And you can do one thing today. You can get up and walk and have your integrity every day forward, knowing that you left when you had the chance to do so, not when it was convenient to you. That's a personal statement.
So where do
That's
we go from
here? That's a personal statement for you and your own soul. What?
Where do we go from here? Because we know this isn't conspiracy theory anymore. We know that Epstein is there. We know that blackmail we know this is a problem. All these, so many leaders in our institutions are involved. Not all, obviously, but a lot. Where do we go from here?
My thought is that we need bold new ideas. And why that is this. We've lived in a period of lies, so many lies, Sarah, and you and I know this. You've been talking about it on your show for years, and of multiple angles and industries and layers and dimensions, and you see this massive corrupt structure, and you're just like, how the hell are you going to take this thing down? Well, you can't. They built it for themselves, and they built it so that you can never fix the problem. So what do? You unplug from them. You stop playing at their game. And people say, oh, how can you do that? We all live in this world. Of course you do. But the key is this. Lies are what hold you in place, both in your own life, the lies you tell yourself, the denial that you have about your own issues. That's the first part. But the bigger one is it's an integration of the greater society, which is lies too. So you're plugging in all of your trauma in the news, on social media, in all of your worry and your fear, and it's containing you. It's keeping you in this mental prison that cannot allow you to think outside of your own anger for the outrage that you have, which is completely justified, by the way. But if we stay in that anger, if we stay in that fear and that indignation is like, what on? We need that moment, but we have to then match it with solutions, because revolution through violence and malice is not going to win us the future. It's going to take us down with all of these monsters. And that's exactly what they want. And if you look at their messaging, they're trying to provoke tensions and fear and anger and hatred and ultimately violence in people just by the mere ideas that they're putting out that have nothing to do with reality. So this is where we've all lived. We've lived in this, Sarah, but this is the key. When truth, this is why I'm very hopeful. We're talking now 3 years after the election, and our conversation is quite different than the one we would have a year ago or even 2 years ago, right? Which means what? Time is changing. Even though we can't see it, time is changing. The lies are getting weaker, and they're getting more outrageous and more outlandish and more obvious now than ever before, to more people than ever before. What is going to happen is the tipping point of the truth, and that floodgate just breaks. And what's going to happen is truth's going to begin to flow, and time is going to change. We are going to move and unfold as we have always been intended to do, in the way that humanity has meant to always be lived, because we can never return to this time again. With this knowledge, everybody says, we're like, oh my God, it's so terrible. We're in a post-WikiLeaks Podesta email time. Prior to 2016, none of this was possible. None of it. And then we had Me Too and Epstein. And look at how we're building in these disclosures. And do you think that the public, with this knowledge and disclosure now and the confirmation of Epstein and ABC News, that it's going to abate, that people are not going to begin to become more scrutiny, give more scrutiny, discretion, careful examination? We have citizen journalists. We have the rise of independent media. We've got greater voices than ever before. Yours truly is going to start a podcast next year, whereas a year ago, I would never even have considered that. And I'm like sitting here going, well, it's important to get these ideas out. You're a creative, loving human being, as am I, as is 7.5 billion other people on this planet, minus maybe a few percentage. But the rest of us, with anything that we can come up with and think of through our imaginations, that's what's been turned off. That's why we're feeling the way we're feeling, is because we have been told since we were very little that you couldn't do certain things. We had bad programming through our parents that were programmed through these people. And they in turn had other programs that they did to us. These are unconscious ones. Child abuse is one of them. Humiliation, neglect, sexual abuse. All of this puts the crap in our heads that we carry forward in our lives for the rest of our lives as we're manifesting it forward with all of that shit in us. And what happens is these people know that. These people know that. And they know how to appeal to it. And they know how to manipulate.
Well, let me ask you, what is going on now with this whole false paradigm of left, right? And I mean, it looks like they're building for violence with yes. people that, in my opinion, they're really uninformed. They're well-meaning, but completely clueless as to what's going on. What do yeah. you say about that?
That one I've been thinking about for quite a while. About a year ago, I told my friends, I said, I see violence coming. And I kind of laid out, you know, just my unscientific analysis on it. But here's what it is. if you just take the broad spectrum of the political, like the right and the left, right? And the extremes. And most people attribute violence to the extremes, but we got to look at, without proclivities to violence, what the two mean. One is individualism, followed to its extreme, and the other one is collectivism, followed to its extreme. Neither one of them are a problem insofar as you may not agree with one or the other, but by themselves they're neutral. Putting proclivities of judgment and emotion into them can change that. And typically we get the fringes on the extremes because they've been pushed to that point as a reaction and counter-reaction to the other, which is what's happening right now, although this one's getting a little bit smaller. The problem is that both sides see themselves as good and right in the eyes of the other. It, and taken to the extreme, what you would say is if you're holding a gun and you're about to pull the trigger, you pull that trigger thinking you're the good guy in that situation, right? So if I have a belief system that I'm following, even if it's ideological, I've aligned myself with these ideas, I've put my emotions invested into those ideas, whether I've thought them out well or not, doesn't matter. It's the right thing for me. It's in the face of these other people who are determined to be my enemy, as I've been conditioned to believe that they are completely opposed to my right to express myself, whatever it is. It all is in the mind. But here's the bigger issue. This is all about subconscious mind programming. One of the things that most people don't know is that 90% of their entire day is made up from their subconscious mind, which is nothing to do with you thinking anything. It thinks it for you. It's your default operating system. It's like when you boot up a computer, it's your default operating program. It's going to run every single thing of the day. 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day, 90% of them are controlled by this. When in the subconscious mind, the law of this, one of the laws of the subconscious mind, and this is very important to understand, the subconscious mind does not determine what is real or imagined, does not determine what is true or false. It just is. So whatever is in the subconscious mind, whatever, and when the subconscious mind is not like, okay, I put this in my subconscious mind today. Subconscious mind programming, the most effective one, which is why media is so powerful and why what we're doing is so powerful, is that when you have somebody in front of you that you trust, that you feel inherently that you trust, whether it be a parent, a friend, even somebody on TV that you don't even really know, but feel an emotional connection to based on a combination of things, whatever the reason is, if you like Obama, you like Trump, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're identifying with a person you do not actually know in real life. And that person says things to you that you take in through your filter, but actually you don't take it in through your filter. It goes right to your subconscious mind because you trust that person. The example I would give people is go out on the street and take exactly the same speech as one of your favorite people do, celebrity, politician, business leader, and have a stranger try to recite that to you. And would you listen to that person the same way that you would listen to the person that you already trust saying the same thing? No. They do it all the time. Steven Crowder or Fleckus will go and they'll give you all the policy positions of Donald Trump and say that it's Bernie Sanders and everybody's supportive of it. And then when they tell them it's Donald Trump, they go, oh, you know, and everybody's like, oh, that's exactly what we're talking about. It's who you trust. It's who you trust. So if you have a trusted face, if you have a trusted brand, and you have an emotional connection to it because it has some kind of history or meaning to you that you've put into it, you're going to follow it. Now, the issue that we're coming up on is the right and the left, which is one, the right typically is, yes, it's about individualism, but their focus is on behavior. And on the left side, even though there's this collectivism, their focus is on structure. So we have structures of power. Now, this is just like 101, but it's really fundamental to understand. When you hear somebody like AOC, and I'm not trying to praise or put down anybody. I'm just trying to explain like how it is. When you have somebody like AOC up there and saying what she's saying and people agreeing with it in spite of the facts, they are doing so because emotionally she is channeling exactly what it is that they themselves feel. She could say whatever she would say and they would still agree with it. So The issue now is when we're talking about criticizing structures, changing structures around, changing capitalism, what they're really talking about is they're saying, it's really quite cynical. It's basically saying this to you, in my view. We helped create this problem. Government helped created this problem colluding with business. Now we want you to take it to its full logical conclusion by centralizing the power structure even further and cementing it under our control when we have had no examples or case studies or
well, we have had examples. I mean, just not in this country. Right. I mean, like the Soviet Union and stuff like that. I mean, they're trying to, they're mad at fascism, and then they're asking to even go to the extreme. They're useful idiots for what they're trying to solve, and they don't realize
it. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
That's a better way of putting it. I'm not trying to disparage them because they feel that way, but they are being used because AOC and all these other people are not the people running it. They're the face.